Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. This is a forum for folks who are interested in connecting with your intuition, your imagination, your ability to manifest, and setting intention toward those desires and hopes and validations in your life. So if those are topics that interest you, you're definitely in the right place. I just encourage you to sit back and enjoy. If you haven't listened to the show before, check out With Insights Radio. With Insights Radio has some wonderful programming on it. Iggy Garcia and his sister do a wonderful program called With Insights Radio. And Mudso Softwatch does a great program on Saturday evening at midnight, which is just a very, very storytelling-based show. So they're wonderful, wonderful shows, and such an honor to get to share this forum with them. Also, make sure to share your shiny, pretty picture with Inner Voice so we know that you're listening to the show and can send you updates of upcoming shows. I do want to just recognize our guest at this point. Tonight I have Willow, who is an intuitive tarot reader, on, and she's going to talk all about, well, I'm not going to fill that in. I'm just going to make sure she's online. Are you there, Willow?
I am. Hi.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good, good. I'm so glad that we could do this and that you accepted the invite, and just really excited to hear about your story and about your journey and what it is you do.
I'm so glad that you invited me to be on the show. Thank you so much.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Usually when I have people on Inner Voice, the first thing that I ask guests is, you know, this is a little bit off the beaten path. This isn't your typical life journey, and it requires a certain amount of listening to the universe or at least having an awareness of what you're bound for. And so I wonder how you look at your journey, Willow. Do you look at it in terms of kind of this found you and something, or was it something you always knew that you were going to do intuitive work with people?
I think it's something that I grew into. I always knew I grew up in a family that was very open to psychics and intuitive work, and my sister at a really young age saw spirits, and so it's something in our family that is pretty common. Other cousins are psychic, and so I was really lucky to grow up in that open-minded feel about it. And as I kind of explored that, I went through my 20s, and I learned and I studied, but I actually went to school for environmental policy. And another passion, like environmental work, taking care of Mother Earth. And but I really found my niche in working with people, and I started doing readings when I was about 30. I'm going to be 40 next week. And I love connecting with people and showing them how to connect with their intuitive self. And because we all have that within us, sometimes it takes a little more tuning, but, you know, I think we all have that gift, and I love seeing that grow in people and showing them how to listen to their inner voice. But I feel really lucky that my family was open to letting that grow inside of my sister and I, and we were always taught to listen to our inner voice, and that's been really helpful. Not that I've always listened when I was younger, but I think the more that we, you know, think, well, I really should have listened to that, or I should have done that, then we, you know, learn to listen to that voice more and more as we go.
awesome. I love the fact that you bring up, you know, that we all have this inner voice and this intuitive voice, and it's about developing it and listening to it. I think so many intuitive readers sometimes don't encourage that part of it. Like, some of them do. Some of them definitely do. But some of them, like, kind of sometimes create a power imbalance between the reader and themselves, or between the client and themselves. And I hear you saying that you're empowering them with this awareness that, that, you know, they have this gift inside of themselves. And I just so appreciate that way of approaching it, you know.
I think it's really important. I mean, I work with a lot of women, and, you know, I think unfortunately in our society, young girls and women are taught to listen to what they're told to do, or just to be nice, or to make everybody mm-hmm. feel better. You know, mm-hmm. all those things mm-hmm. we're kind of conditioned to do in our society. And it's really a disservice because we don't feel like we can use our voice all the time or speak up for our needs as women. And I see it as, you know, trying to empower people and really listen to that voice, or, you know, if there's a red flag about something that's popping up, don't ignore it. You know, try to pay attention to that. And I do think it's important for people to realize that everybody's born with a certain level of instinct and inner wisdom, even mm-hmm. if it has been shut down over time. You know, it's always possible to get it back. And as a reader or somebody, I think it's really important to help people find that in themselves. So, because the more people that are empowered, then the more change that can be created, and people can feel empowered instead of disempowered, because there's so much going on in our society
Absolutely.
Right now, and people feel unsure and, you know, worried about what's going on in the big picture. I think it's important to feel, so people feel like they can listen to that voice and not feel fear as much, and feel just empowered in their daily life.
I think as a, you know, global culture, we're being asked to listen to that voice. I think the, you know, the things that are happening in the environment and in the political arena and stuff are asking us to really step up and listen to that inner voice and really get a sense of ourselves about what's true, as opposed to maybe what the media is saying or what our friends are saying is true, and that is what is going to sway people and sway, you know, the universe in the direction of this growth process, you know, that has to happen, I think, if we're going to survive, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we have, because there is so much going on, and, you know, the media thrives on giving people fear and making people feel insecure, like they don't have control over what's coming, and I think we have to embrace changes that are coming because they are good. I mean, no change. There's change is painful for sure, but mm-hmm. in the end, it's good. I mean, there's a lot of good things going on too. So it's
Absolutely.
You know, trying to get people to focus. Yeah, like just focus on the good and have gratitude for the small things and or good things that come into our lives. Like I try
yeah.
to get people to refocus on that aspect, like having gratitude. And it's easy to get caught up in what we don't have or what's not going right.
But
it is. We all do it. You know,
to
we're
a certain
all,
extent, we're reinforced by our culture to do that, you know?
We are. I agree. I think, you know, people look at, well, I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I don't feel like I have it together. And, you know, everybody's doing the best they can and trying to grow and improve. And if we think, well, you know, even if it was one good thing that happened that day, it's something good,
mm-hmm.
and to try
mm-hmm.
to focus on that piece.
Absolutely. So when did you, you know, I think that you had mentioned that you kind of had started this journey for yourself, or implied that you had started this journey for yourself. When did you realize that you wanted to serve other people and do readings and do intuitive work for other people? What was that journey like?
I started, my mom had some tarot cards at home laying around,
mm-hmm.
and so when
awesome.
I was about, yeah, I know, I was very lucky that way, but,
yeah, really lucky.
very lucky. I have a very unique family, which I'm very grateful for.
Awesome.
But when I was about, when I was 15, I think when I was around 15, I just started playing with them. I ended up getting the Mayan Oracle deck, which is a really interesting deck, and playing around with that. And I first started practicing on friends, and, you know, a lot of my my sister and a few friends of mine were interested, and we would practice, and it started out that way. It kind of started out slowly, just doing it for friends, and everybody encouraged me, really, you should do this for other people, and I took the leap of faith and started doing it for other people, and I, of course, was nervous when I first started, like, what if this isn't, you know, what if I'm not doing this correctly, or, you know, what if it's not received, and, but it turned out, you know, it was a good response, and I felt encouraged, and I really like to work with women, and the more I did, the more I realized I'm also learning from many of my clients, like what they're reflecting or things that I've moved through or things that I can, you know, have compassion around or understand, because of a lot of the things are similar, whether if they're not exact same situation, we all are moving through similar things in life. And I just found that I was learning maybe sometimes more from clients about myself and hopefully sharing with them as well. But I started reading at Zodiac 4 years ago. I took a little bit of a break in my 30s when I had two children. So I took a break when they were very little and spent time with them. And then a mutual friend encouraged me to go talk to Jennifer at Zodiac, and I did, and gave her a reading, and it started off with her, really. Then it became more full-time, so I was doing a lot of readings, and I felt really comfortable, and it was growing, and I've been able to expand to having an office at the Serenity Center in Reynoldsburg, and I feel really blessed that people keep coming to me, and
awesome.
And that it keeps growing. I really love it. I feel just very thankful that I'm able to do something that I love and helps me grow. I hope that it helps people I see grow and learn about themselves too. And I feel very lucky to be on this path and the people that I have met, other readers, other psychics, just clients, everybody has been wonderful and warm, and it's been a great journey so far.
Awesome, awesome. And when you read, you talk about, you know, doing intuitive tarot readings, and that kind of distinguishes you from a lot of the readers out there who focus a little more on a traditional approach. And there are people who do intuitive tarot reading, and then there are people who just do kind of straight, you know, this is what this card means reading.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I would like for you to talk a little bit about how you work with your intuition with the tarot and how that works.
I love the tarot for tarot, like just for the meanings. I think those readings are excellent as well, because the tarot is a wonderful tool. They're very accurate. I still feel amazed sometimes at the accuracy. I just noticed as I was reading that they helped me tune in to the person's energy. So I was picking up things about maybe health, or, you know, if someone has anxiety, other things were coming to me that really weren't necessarily just in the cards, but feelings I was getting from them, like just things that I was picking up about them. You know, I'll pick up different ages or stuff in their house, like if they need to move things around or things are cluttered or, you know, just different things that they're holding in their energy. And the cards, just when I'm focusing on them, when I'm shuffling, I get information before I lay the cards down. So I do both. I tell the person what I receive informationally, and then also what's reflected in the cards and the spread. So I try to honor both both ways of looking at it, because I know that, you know, some people that read tarot just say, just read the tarot, and and I try to honor that the tarot has definitely has its own wisdom and symbolism, and I also try to look at what I'm picking up as well, because I want it to be, you know, complete. Like, I wouldn't, I always want to be able to say what I'm picking up, because I think it's beneficial too for people.
I think it's such a doorway for people to connect with the unconscious and to connect with, you know, their intuitive process, and that the archetypes, the stories that the cards tell facilitate that process so beautifully, you know?
Oh, they do. It's each card is just, to me, it's, each card has so much symbolism in it, and it, I think it awakens different parts of us when we, if we're just looking even at an individual card and seeing what that card reflects to us, because they are so ancient and they do have so much wisdom. They're amazing. I think tarot cards are amazing, and I sometimes get the comment, well, you know, one day you won't need the cards, and now I say, you know, it's not that I need the cards. I really appreciate the wisdom in the cards and the symbolism. And I hear, you know, I don't think people understand the amount that's in the cards sometimes. It's I don't view them as a crutch, which I think sometimes people think, oh, you know, someday you won't need those. And
I've even had, like, intuitives or, you know, other kinds of intuitive readers tell me that as well. And I'm always like, you know, and I'll sit with it, and I notice sometimes, like, the channeled readings and that sort of thing flow more readily, and the cards are just kind of a backdrop to that process. Like, do you ever find yourself, like, just saying, like, boom, 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 like rapid fire in the beginning before you even look at the cards, and then you're like, okay, now the cards. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I do. I will, you know, say what I'm picking up, and then the cards add to what I'm picking up. And again, I really think each deck has their own wisdom to them. And so each deck that I've worked with has a distinct kind of feel to them, and they each give a different type of wisdom, I think, in their energy.
Yeah.
And so I think they're beautiful. I love tarot. I wouldn't want to just be like, oh, I don't need you anymore. So
I know. Have you noticed with yourself that you read them differently at different times? Like, you're more focused on the, you know, the major arcana sometimes, or a particular major arcana card, or then you're particularly focused on the numbers or the elements, and, like, and that it kind of, you know, mirrors your own journey, you know?
Yes, I think so. I mean, different things will stand out at different times.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of like a tapestry, or when you look at artwork, you know, what stands out to you at that time, you can look at the same piece again and have a totally different feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same thing with the cards, where different things will stand out. And sometimes I'll say, well, I've never noticed that before, you know, and I've been reading these for, you know, so long, but it's like, wow, that's really standing out to me right now. And it's really interesting to me for each person that comes in. I sometimes will lay them out different ways, or I kind of listen to where they want to be laid on the table, and I don't always do a standard spread. I kind of mix it around and kind of listen to what the energy says, but I think they always are speaking in a different way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, absolutely. That's awesome. So, I guess I want to talk a little bit about, like, you know, what your favorite cards are, and what some of the stories that the cards have told you are, and that kind of thing. Because it's clear from what you're saying that the cards are really alive for you. And so I'm just curious about, like, you know, your own connection with them in terms of, like, the major arcana, the minor arcana. Like, what's your favorite major arcana card, and why?
I think I love the, well, there's a few of them, but I really love the star. I think the star, to me, sort of symbolizes bringing together, like, what the divine and our dreams want for us, and then bring reality together. So it It's like taking your dreams and pulling them into reality. And it's hope. And but I use the right now I'm reading with the tote deck, and it's a beautiful design where she's reaching up, and it really looks like she's pulling from the heavens, and then you know up from the water. So to me, it's sort of like, you know, as above, so below. Like what we're thinking about, we're manifesting, and it's a good reminder. You know, what are you focusing on? Are you pulling in what you're looking for? And it has such a wonderful hope to it and inspiration. That's one of my favorites, Major Arcana.
Awesome. What are the others? We've got time.
You know, I'm going to bring up the death card because
sure.
I think people are scared, you know, because of Hollywood and what people think that card means. And
how many movies that card shows up in.
I know.
Yeah.
And people will say, oh, my gosh, I just don't want to see the death card. And I think, well, you know, it's really not scary. It could be painful sometimes, but it's necessary transformation. And so when I see that card, I think of, you know, clearing the way to bring in what we need. And without that, how do we move forward? How do we transform? And, you know, it is a necessary part of life. And I think a lot of times we're conditioned to just focus on the happy, or everybody thinks they need to be happy all the time. And, you know, if you're not happy, then there's something wrong. But that's really, you know, the painful times, I think, are what causes our soul to grow, or what brings us change and things that, you know, we need to address. Like sometimes we're not looking at what needs cleared. And it might not be easy, but on the other side of that card, it's clearing the way to bring in something new for growth and change. And I think it's a valuable card. So when it comes up and people are like, oh no, I didn't want it to come up. I'm like, no, really, it's good. It might not be easy, but you know,
Yeah, I really appreciate your assessment there, because I think sometimes, you know, people can get very literal about working with the tarot, and they can think that the card means literally something, and they'll see it in like a black and white way. And it's clear from what you're saying that you are moving beyond that and looking at like what's underneath that and the purpose of that lesson or that card. And that's just, you know, I think that adds a richness to the tarot that some people don't, you know, work with the nuances of it that way.
Yeah, I think it's valuable so people realize that it is okay to have change. I mean, even in actual physical death, it's a beautiful transformation, even if it's, you know, it is painful for people left behind. But, you know, in tarot, I think it's reflects so well all of the things, all the good things, all the hard things that we go through on our journey while we're here. And it can't always be, it's not always happy, and that's okay. And I
absolutely
think people just, yeah, it's okay to sit with things, and I think encouraging people that it's okay to move through grief, it's okay to be sad, it's, you know, okay to cry, and you know, in America, it's like, okay, you had this loss, but you need to go back to work and move on, and aren't you over this yet? And that's so hard.
I think a lot of our clients, you know, need to sit with something or be uncomfortable or look at something again, you know, this sort of thing, because we're so up in our heads as a culture, you know, and black and white in our thinking, and that's really reinforced. But I think that there's a soul purpose to our lives, which you're alluding to, you know, as opposed to an ego purpose, which is a different way of looking at, you know, our journey.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that's true, and people would feel better if they knew that it was okay to move through this stuff, that it's okay to feel that way. And you actually feel better on the other side of it. And you will feel more happy, you know, once this moves through.
Absolutely. And so, I think sometimes, you know, when we're trying to be happy or put on a smiley face, so to speak, that stuff comes back because it has a purpose in our life. And if we resist it, you know, if we resist it just, you know, from the point of departure, then we don't grow. You know, we resist our lessons.
Yes, I totally agree. I think, you know, as hard as painful things are, that is the growth. Those are our growth points. And if we refuse to look at that part, then we're not moving forward or growing. And
absolutely.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. So with the minor arcana, what are your favorite suits or your favorite cards in the minor arcana? What are the ones that really pop out for you?
Well, I like to work with all the elements, but I'm a Scorpio,
mm-hmm.
so I'm a water sign. So, you know, I resonate with water really well, all the water sign cards, you know, the emotion in them and not getting, I guess, caught up in being stuck in the emotional things, but again, like being able to honor, okay, this is how I'm feeling right now, and that's okay. And like, I love the Ace of Cups. I think it's always, in most decks, it's just beautiful, and it has a great feeling of abundance and love and having things come together and being in a good place, which is always nice. I think challenging for me is air, and you know, the Suit of Swords is, most of those cards are challenges and difficult. But I really, they're not always the most fun cards to pull. But the Ace of Swords, I see, you know, the Ace of Swords, I think, is a very powerful card because it's to me, it's eliminating truth. You know, it's seeing the way or like the sword of truth and being able to see what we need to overcome or seeing things clearly, like having clarity or having, you know, come to a point where you have clarity and you can see the way clearly. I like the Queen of Swords. I think, you know, the Queen of Swords gets to the point, and, you know, this is coming from a place of logic and having clear thought and seeing things clearly. And so between the two, like having the emotion, and sometimes emotions cloud our view for the cups and, you know, the clarity of swords. Both those dynamics are great. Of course, I like the wands, and you know, the wands, creativity, creation, like, you know, ideas, getting things moving. I love the feel to those too. Like, I don't know that I could name maybe one specific card.
I love the fact that you talk about working with the elements. You know, I think some readers don't even touch on the elements, or that's not the way that they read the cards. And I just, I think, you know, earth, air, fire, and water, you know, are kind of our baseline. Our earth, you know, it represents our body and our instinctual self. And I just, it's so wonderful that you read with working with the elements, and that's a big part of what you do.
It is. I didn't even think about it really that way, but I, you know, I didn't realize maybe other readers don't look at the elemental part, but I think it's so important, and because they're so, you know, prevalent in the suits, that it's, you know, the earthiness of the pinnacles or the coins, and looking at, you know, the things that we have to do here. I mean, the mundane things, not necessarily the spiritual things, but things we have to do to be here on earth and career and all those good stuff. I think knowing the elemental card just adds to the depth of the card. It just makes it that much more.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, there are a lot of readers. I've interviewed people, you know, they'll do their own thing or whatever, but a lot of readers don't read with working with the elements. So, I know. I was surprised too. There's a really, really great reader in Florida named Christiana Godot, and she wrote a book on working with the elements. and I was on her show, and she said, "Oh, you read With the Elements," and I said, "Doesn't everybody? I mean, isn't that
right?"
But no.
Wow. Yeah.
No, a lot of people don't.
I think everybody, possibly then they maybe do more other aspects of the cards, but I love working with earth energy, Mother Earth, like doing stewardship and environmental stuff. I think maybe that part of me is more tuned into the elements that we live in and work with, and so that resonates with me in the cards too.
Yeah, you had mentioned that in the very beginning of the interview, how important that aspect was to you because of what you studied. And yeah, I think that that's a piece that, sometimes when we feel lost or we feel isolated in the world, if we, go back to nature, we can refuel, and the elements are all there. They're right there, and it helps us balance our own energies.
It does. Just going out for a walk in the woods and looking at the elements and realizing, we're a part of this beautiful planet. And, I think it helps everyone feel grounded if they looked around them to see, what's going on. More
absolutely.
Than just, being caught up in your cubicle or at work or wherever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. And I think, too, with our culture, more and more, we're so isolated from each other, and a lot of us are in our cubicles. And so nature seems like it's, distant or foreign more and more, when actually it is our, it's our birthright. It's our baseline,
It is. I think that's part of the reason people become depressed. Like, they've lost that connection or the understanding about Earth and what the Earth gives us and what we're supposed to be giving back to her. And I think people that are surrounded by the inner city all the time, or they never see anything natural, it just causes a big disconnect. And life becomes more challenging when you don't have that aspect.
Yeah. Well, I think we just basically start to distrust ourselves when we're disconnected from nature,
Yeah, and I think it just, when I was in college and studying this, some of the stuff that they were saying was going to come to pass, which has been quite a while now, it's coming to pass, and, it is disconnection. I mean, with all the media and texting and, less face-to-face contact, it's just causing that gap to grow, feeling disconnected from the earth, from each other, and it's so important to reconnect. That's why I really like sitting with people and doing readings or having them come and giving them that space where they can feel like, okay, you're connecting in with spirit, and at least having that half an hour where they're feeling connected.
Absolutely.
And I think it's very important. Yeah.
Definitely. Awesome. Well, I know that I was on your website earlier today, and I want to make sure that I get it right. But you do, let me go over here to where the page is so I can look through it here.
Okay.
I want to make sure to ask you about everything that you really want to share. Let's see. You talk about working with spirit guides, ancestors, and departed loved ones. Can you talk a little bit about that's like mediumship work, that sort of work? What's that about?
Sure. I get information from loved ones in different ways. So it's harder for me to talk back and forth with them, but I will get, if they want to convey that they're fine, like I'll get images, like, if they hung out on their front porch with the person, I'll see the porch, or, different things like that, or if they liked coffee, or... I mean, it's kind of funny, different images, and I'll just be curious, personal, say, like, well, can you get in touch with this person? I'll say, I'll try, and I'll get lots of random things that pop through, And a lot of times I'll just hear, it's not that I necessarily see the person. I don't really see entities, but I can hear them. So, and I tell people, like, it's not like we're having a conversation right now, but it is more of, I can tell this isn't my idea. Like, it floats into my mind, and I know it's coming from a different source, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes total sense,
yeah, and so they'll give pictures, thoughts, scents, different things, and I try to have their loved one learn how to communicate with them, because I think a lot of times they're just trying to get through that they are okay, that they're there, they want to communicate, and it's almost, they just want them to know, like, I'm here, I can talk to you, but I think people think, well, I can't hear them, but it's to me, it's kind of like tuning an old radio. It's getting, like, the right frequency. Like, how do they want to communicate? What, you know, do they want to just let you know they're around through a scent? Or, you know, they do different things to have their loved ones know that they're there. And
I think, too, with that, a lot of times – oh, go on. Go on.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I think, too, with that, a lot of times what people want when they come for readings like that is validation that it's okay for them to connect and to remember and to value, you know, the transformation that their loved one has gone through and to value the way that they show up now, you know?
Yes, I think they need that validation. Like, it's not that they're just thinking about their dad. It's, I think a lot of times people think, well, it was just on my mind, and you know, a lot of times it's that their dad is actually trying to communicate that he's there.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps popping on their mind because he's actually there saying, you know, I'm here. I want you to know I'm here. And they need to hear that validation to say, like, it's okay to say, hey, Dad, I know you're here. Or, you know, right?
Yeah.
And it helps. I think it really helps people when they leave to say, wow, I'm not crazy. I'm not just hearing these things, that they are there. Because they aren't. It's just a matter of getting used to how they are going to communicate now. And, of course, we miss them, you know, their physical presence. It makes it hard. To me, it's very comforting, you know, when I know if my grandmother's around, or to know that they're there and they're working for us on the other side, that they're helping us. And if I can help somebody else understand that or help them see that, then it's, I think it's huge, because it helps alleviate some of the grief to know, oh, I can still communicate with them. They're right there with us.
I think it, like, helps with the grieving process, you know. So the person isn't so distant or so foreign, but they're still occupying the energy and the space. And so there's, like, a continuing, as opposed to a separation and a disconnect.
Right. And I think that's so important for people to understand, because a lot of the belief system is like, well, they're just gone. They went to some place and, you know, they can't hear us, or we can't talk to them. And that makes it, that to me is so devastating that your loved ones are inaccessible. You know, because in my experience, they're very much there and present, and the more they know you can hear them, you know, I think the more comfortable they are in coming and giving messages.
Is that in your family of origin something that you were taught as well? Was that like a piece that you got, was that they were there and they were there as a support and as a comfort? Or was that something that you put together on your own later on?
We always had the understanding that there are spirits around, because my sister could see spirits from a very young age, like age 4 or 5. And so that, and we actually lived in, our house was pretty active spirit-wise. So unfortunately for her, it was pretty scary, you know, at a young age like that. And it was a house where, you know, faucets would turn on in the middle of the night, or doors shut. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So we knew they were around. and it was a matter of figuring out how to help my sister, you know, learn how to turn it off and on. And then always having that idea that, yes, there are spirits around, and growing into, like, when I've had some loved ones pass, realizing, oh, they are there, you know, through my own experience and figuring out how to communicate with them. And because I think we were open to it when we were little, it made it easier to understand what that felt like and to call in our loved ones or our ancestors is really important because they do a lot of work for us from the other side and try to make our, you know, help us in our lives now. And so it's invaluable, really. It's a wonderful gift to know that and to have, like, grown up with, you know, my mom encouraging or understanding that part of things. My mom was very psychic, too. And so we couldn't get away with anything. So it's helpful. We went to psychics from a very, you know, early teens. So it was always a part of our life.
That's so wonderful,
great.
I think, validating, you know, that piece is so important, especially when you're young, you know. In my family, that was just discounted, and it took a while for me to trust. And I'll bet you see this with clients, too, you know. If that isn't something that's enforced or valued, sometimes people will have a block, and they won't listen, or they'll have a pattern of not listening to their own intuition, and then a period where they break through and they say, oh, no, I have to listen now, you know. And it's just so wonderful that you were given that kind of guidance from the time that you were really little.
Yes, it is. I'm thankful for it all the time because I do have friends or other clients that have struggled with having that gift or just with the parameters that some religions put on. You know, that's bad, it's evil, you shouldn't listen to this, you shouldn't meditate. I mean, you know, I've had clients say she can't meditate because it was evil. I mean, and it makes me sad because it's very hard to overcome the fear once it's implanted. And it happens at such a young age for some people, and even though they have the calling to walk a different path, it can be so hard to overcome. It's not impossible, but that fear, once it's in there, it's very hard to get rid of it completely.
for some people, it's their primary skill set, and yet they're disconnected from it, you know. I mean, there are people who are thinkers, there are people who are feelers, but there are people who are intuitives and yet disown it because they've learned to devalue it over time. And that's such a sad thing to see because they can live their lives with so much clarity, more clarity and acuity if they would value that part of themselves and make better choices, you know?
Yes, I agree. And I hope, like, with some of the people I work with, I help them to get reconnected with their inner voice and understand that what they're coming up with and what they're feeling is valid and true, and to keep listening to it because it is, it's really invaluable to be able to listen to yourself and validate that voice and know that it's not going to steer you the wrong way. You know, it's coming from our higher self. I think we all even, you know, I still struggle with this stuff sometimes too. I mean, we're all learning and growing all the time. When I'm reaffirming someone else to listen to their voice, it's also helping me as a reminder, like, I just need to, you know, take my own advice.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, you learn so much from your clients about what you're afraid of and what you're drawn to and where, you know, you just learn so much from clients, you know, about your own life journey. You mentioned that in the beginning of the conversation, and I really, you know, I think that rings true for sure.
Oh, I do too. I feel like I never want my clients to leave the feeling like they felt I was above them or I know more than they do or something like that. That's not a good dynamic. You know, I'm equal to them. I'm on this journey too. and I'm, you know, just trying to share and help them as well. So, and they help me too. And I love my clients. They're wonderful.
Absolutely.
Group of people.
Absolutely. I want to ask you a little bit about this past life regression work that you do, how you got involved in that, and, you know, how that informs your the work you do.
I in at the Serenity Center, we have a wonderful group of holistic healers and alternative medicine practitioners. And one of the ladies that works there does, her name is Rowan Moon. She does craniosacral therapy, energy work. And we came up with the idea of doing past life regression where we take the client through a meditation process to access memories of their past life. And Rowan does energy work on them through the process. So if there's an old block or things that are coming up that need processed, she does energy work, the healing, to help the client process through the old memories. And I think it's, I'm really glad we came up with the idea, because we've had some intense experiences with people where it's been really beneficial to have her help them energetically move those blocks. And it's a great experience. I think it really helps people see sometimes, like, what carries over into this life, different patterns that we still carry, and sometimes different same relationships that we could be having now that we're still working on and trying to figure out, and how do we break this pattern. And it is very interesting work.
I think that's some of the most profound work that one can do. You know, that is where the rubber kind of really hits the road, and you know, when you do the past life regression work and you make peace with what happened, then you're able to move on in a way that is just so profound, and you don't have to keep repeating those past patterns that hold no energy anymore for you, or maybe hold energy that's distorted or not accurate. And I was kind of resistant to that work myself for a while, because sometimes it can be so out there. People can, like, think they were Mary Queen of Scots or Louis the Sun King or this kind of thing. And it can be kind of about self-aggrandizement. But I think on a deep level, when you're open to those sacred stories and that the past roles that you've played, and you go back and heal that piece, it's just, it's profound.
I really think it is, too. I think because when you are able to, you know, glimpse that life, or if you're having a relationship that you're like, I know this isn't great, but there's all these ties, and why does this keep going on? And you're able to get a glimpse of an old pattern. It's like, wow, this has been going on for so long. Like, I really don't want to keep doing this, because this happened before. And it kind of gives people validation to say, wow, enough's enough. I'm going to keep, doing this with this person. So I do think it's invaluable to be able to see that. And I think the people that come to us for this have an idea of past lives, and they're ready to kind of process some of the stuff out. And it's it is, each time has been very different. And again, like, I learned from these experiences too, what the person, you know, it's, to me, it's a very sacred, private space, because you know, helping this person move through intense things and stuff that, you know, they don't even realize what's going to come up when they sit down. People have an idea what they think. But, you know, it's usually something completely like, whoa, I didn't expect that. And it's very interesting work. And I'm really glad I do it with Rowan, because I think the energy work makes a huge difference for people, because they're able to, I think, move through it in a positive way.
And they're vulnerable in a different way than with a reading, too, you know, because with a reading, they're, you know, they're just there and they're listening to you or whatever. But with something like past life regression or hypnosis,
they're, you know, they're in an altered state, and that takes a certain amount of vulnerability to allow yourself to be in that state, not knowing what's going to happen. You know, you have to relinquish control to, well, I mean, fundamentally they have control, but you have to relinquish control to a certain extent, you know, that you don't in a reading.
Right, that's right. I like, because people sometimes do have a hard time letting go, and you know, it's getting that person to relax and being able to, you know, be okay with what's going to come up. And you know, we've had a couple instances where people just weren't ready, and that was fine. And you know, it doesn't happen. You know, it's not a sure thing like every time. It depends on what the person needs, if they're ready, if they are willing to let go. And some people just aren't in that space yet. And that's okay, for sure. It's okay. But it is a sacred thing to move through and discover. It's very interesting.
Yeah. I think it's amazing, too, how people's lives shift so dramatically after that work. You know, they're so much more clear about what they came here to do, and so some of those ties that disempower them or, you know, use their energy in a way that isn't the most productive, just kind of, you know, the energy is taken away from that place, and they have more renewal of, like, their purpose, you know, and more clarity and ease with doing things in this lifetime.
Yeah, I think it's a very powerful tool. It's wonderful to be able to access that and process stuff and move forward.
Absolutely. Well, we're to the point in the show where I want to make sure that people know where to get a hold of you for all the wonderful work that you do. So if you can give that information so folks can get a hold of you for sessions and readings, this would be the time.
Sure. My office is at the Serenity Center in Reynoldsburg. My phone number is 614-352-6172. I also read out of the Zodiac in Gahanna, and the number there is 470-6990. My website is www.guidedbyspirit.us, and I'm also on Facebook under Guided by Spirit-Willow.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being on and sharing the hour with Inner Voice and sharing your insight and wisdom. So appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Have a great evening.
You too. Take care.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, Jenny, I heard you have a new sponsor on your show.
Yeah, I'm so excited. John Addison of Holistic Highways to Wisdom, who's an amazing, amazing video maker, and he creates videos for people who are in the metaphysical and spiritual community to promote their services and get their energy and their message out there.
Yeah, I know John very well. He's done videos for me as well.
Awesome. I know he's a great asset to our community. Anyway, if you want to check out John as a practitioner, or if you'd like to check out his wonderful series of metaphysical videos, just pop on over to holistichighwaystowisdom.com. Back to the show.
That was our sponsor, John Addison from Holistic Highways to Wisdom. Do check out his series. It's wonderful. I've made 4 videos with him, and several other folks in the community have made wonderful videos with him. He just offers a wonderful service for people who are wanting to get out there. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. Like I said, pop on over and share your pretty shiny picture with Inner Voice so we know that you're following the show. And we look forward to bringing you a show next week. Thanks so much for your attention and energy this evening. I'm going to take you out with The Blessing by Dar Williams, all about noticing the synchronicities and magical happenings in your life.
Poets that we never find time to know, but when time stopped, I found
Thanks so much to our guest, Willow, tonight. Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, inspire magic, create magic, look for magic in your life and in each other, because that's what we're here for. Have a great evening. Bye now.